And greetings. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Steve Dace Show here live and on demand on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. I am Steve Dace alongside Todd Erzin. And yes, she hasn't majorly screwed up yet. That's something. That's a compliment, frankly. Our very capable intern, Victoria, still manning the control. She's at the helm while Aaron is wrapping up his paternity leave. He'll be joining us again next week. So not that we want to say goodbye to Victoria, but we do look forward to the return of Aaron. We also look forward to telling you about our friends every day at First Cup Coffee Company. They are the Patriot-owned coffee company with a flavor for every freedom-loving American. But don't buy them because they're Patriot-owned. Own them and buy them because they are flavorful. It's a great cup of coffee. And on top of that, they have the right value system as well. If you want to make sure that you get something fresh, they put the roast on date right there on every bag so you can see it's shipped to you within days of being roasted, and you can get 10% off with my last name, Dace, as your promo code at firstcup.com. Firstcup.com, promo code Dace for 10% off, and if you end up subscribing, you'll get an additional 10% for the life of the subscription. All right, coming up on the show today, we don't have a guest today. Daniel is out this week. We tried to have a guest the other day, and that did not go the way I had hoped or planned. And yet, I do think in the midst of that conversation, some serious points were raised that I tried to address, just given the way that it was going, were unable to. But nevertheless, I do think are valid questions and challenges to my current position on this election. So I am going to do my best to answer them in the next segment of the show. And then I'm not going to answer them again. I mean, unless we get some form of new information, I've answered these questions a million times. You all can just make up your mind whether you agree or disagree with the answer I have. But I'm going to definitively answer them. And then from this time forward, if they come up again, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to tap the sign and say, yeah, go listen to the podcast on April 24th. I did all that. Okay. And then you can decide for yourself whether you agree or disagree. And then next hour, we're going old school with buy, sell, or hold. We used to do it concurrently in 1 hour. We're going to do that next hour. I've gotten hundreds of submissions, none of which I have even bothered to look at yet. It worked so well last week, I thought, let's just do that again. That was okay, right?
It was.
That being said, I look forward to Aaron returning and curating them. Okay. But we'll get through as many as we can, and then I'll pick a handful of them during the overtime for Blaze TV subscribers today at blazetv.com/Dace. And if you want to become a Blaze TV subscriber, that's also where you can go to become one at a discount, blazetv.com/Dace. All right. Before I get to what I was going to mainly monologue about here this morning or afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening or watching it, I would be remiss if I did not address something that went viral last night, considering it is right in the wheelhouse of my partner over here. I mean, I'm a co-host. Yikes.
What kind of viral are you talking about,
Sorry,
son?
Well, there's other viruses that get passed that way. This is not brought to you, the show brought to you by Monkeypox, nor the Lindsey Graham 2026 campaign. But let's just go with co-host, shall we? Okay. So I did not tell Todd in advance that I was going to ask him specifically about this. He's probably already figured out what it is I'm going to ask about. But I just told him literally 2 minutes before the show started on purpose, because I wanted him on edge. Hey, look sharp. I'm going to ask you specifically about something right off the top, right? That's exactly what happened, right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
I will say bing if I was correct about what you're about to say.
When you saw the, quote, devoutly Catholic bing. President of the United States do the sign of the cross when discussing the murder of children yesterday, when you saw that clip go viral yesterday, as a Catholic, as an American, as a human, as a Christian, you thought what? And the floor is yours.
I'm honestly very glad you asked. I mean, I obviously tweeted out excommunicate him, which I do on a semi-regular basis. So that's not...
Because he displays evidences for being excommunicated on a semi-regular basis. Yes.
And again, even that's not something that the Catholic Church teaches, that it inflicts on somebody. I think that's what a lot of people think. And I think this is something Protestants can wrap their brain around in terms of church discipline. It's something that the church recognizes that you've done to yourself in your sin. But I would say this, there's a lot of back and forth these days by Christians and Protestants who are aware of our show, watch it, seemingly enjoy it, and don't seem to recognize that the brotherhood that exists between two Protestants and a Catholic in dissecting Romans and talking about faith, that this is about the incarnate second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, who came in the flesh, save us from our sins, rising of the tomb, that we can't rally out around that in fellowship and love, considering the world is literally going to pagan hell right now. We'd rather do shirts and skins and go back and pretend this is, you know, the 16th century or something like that. A lot of time is spent doing that these days and pointing fingers at each other. But when your best argument as a Protestant, and I'm giving it to you, your bet is this. I've said this on the show before. It is in your, I commend you for your charity as a Protestant when you will listen to me and give me the benefit of the doubt as a Catholic, knowing that that man is out there doing things like that. There's no argument it can make right now better against the Catholic Church than saying, that's garbage. Why will you not, with the authority of the church that you claim to have, excommunicate that man? Full stop. There's no good answers for that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry as a Catholic that this is the collective witness of the church. It is appalling. It's appalling. We can all get down into the weeds of any chapter of scripture you want to. At the end of the day, we believe in incarnate faith, one that comes off the page, lives, breathes, bleeds, dies, and then rises again. That's the faith. And he, live on TV at a ceremony celebrating human sacrifice, took his fly down, unzipped it, and whizzed all over it, and then said the sign of the cross. That's your argument for not being Catholic. You don't have a better one.
I would just add, this reminds me very much of what I've had to say about Mike Pence and Mike Johnson as evangelicals in prominent positions of witnessing in the last few years. Secondly, I would urge people to pray for the soul of Joe Biden, because if that is not the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that's dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight on that. I mean, that is right up on the line of that. And
how about his wife? At least he's got dementia as an excuse. My God.
Yeah, I know. But in many respects, it's kind of reminiscent of just the overall state of Christianity in America. The church has failed the country collectively. The church as on an institutional level has failed the country. And we talked about examples of it via Mike Johnson and Mike Pence as a conduit in one direction. Now we have the president as a conduit in another. But it's really the same thing. I mean, the church on an institutional level has failed the country. And I go back to during lockdowns, and man, I wish I could remember what it was. It was some BBC produced documentary on the rise of Nazism in Germany. It was about 10 years old or so. And remember, when we were still doing live shows during lockdowns at the time, we were talking about it. And, you know, just how the movie, or the documentary opens up episode one, you see scenes of early 20th century Germany, man, and it looks like something out of an H.G. Wells novel. I mean, it is the most enlightened, educated, prosperous country in the world. It's the herald of Western civilization. And within a, I mean, there's mass transit throughout every major metropolitan area of Germany. and we're still here in the States. We're still trying to figure out how to, you know, give people running, you know, indoor plumbing and running water. And within one generation, this exact culture plunged the, just exported enough evil into the world that it plunged the world into not one, but two, the two worst wars in human history up until that point. In one generation. Just let go of the rope and look what happened in one generation. And I look at what's happening in our country right now. Let me see. We've got geriatrics. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Ineffective, corruptocrat, feckless geriatrics running the country into the ground so that there's a systemic loss of faith in the system. You know, Weimar Republic much? Check. We're checking that box, right? A church that's just completely abrogated its prophetic witness in the culture. That's Eric Metaxas's book on, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You want to talk about words coming off a page? We're living through something like that right now with what you just monologued about. Check that box, right? We are now openly exporting evil all over the world. We can't wait to export child sacrifice. We can't wait to get to inject as much of the poison that we developed at warp speed into the rest of the world. Check. I could go on and with that. I mean, we are literally the only countries we won't give foreign aid to are the ones that won't fly rainbow flags as their actual flags. Everybody else, we just cut them whatever check they want. So check that box, right? And we've now reached the final stage of blame the Jews. We've reached that stage too. Can you think of a time in any culture in human history where blame the Jews worked out well for that culture? The story ended well at the end of the tale.
The ground does not seem solid.
No, when you reach the blame the Jews level, nothing that the ending's bad. I can't think of a time blame the Jews ended well. I can't think of a time that ended well. It ends bad every time it's tried. It ends bad. And we're in the midst of checking that box now. This is a familiar tale, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah. This is a great opportunity then to remind you about our friends over at Preborn. Because while the president of the United States doesn't care about such sacrilege and in fact is promoting it, Preborn is actually doing something about it. And with our help, with the partnership we've had with them because of you, we've helped partnered with Preborn to save literally tens of thousands of children. That's incredible. Preborn itself, in the history of its ministry, has saved hundreds of thousands of children. They show the mother the ultrasound. They confront her with truth. They convict her conscience. But then they show her the grace that she needs. They care for her with prenatal care, postnatal care. Let's face it, it's typically not women that are in healthy, functional, secure relationships that want to kill their children. It's the women who aren't. And so they understand that this is a fight, it's a spiritual battle, and it's also a ministry. And they're there, provided they keep getting tax-deductible funding from people like us. If you want to make a donation today, dial #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Steve. You know, you can't vote Joe Biden out of office today, but this you could do. If you're disgusted by that display that Todd was just discussing a minute ago, if you're disgusted by it, there's nowhere in America that you can go and vote Joe Biden out of office today for it. But you can donate to Preborn in spite of him. You can do that today. Preborn.com/Steve. That's Preborn.com/Steve. Here's the thing, though. The creation that God made runs on the principle of headship. God is a God of order. So there must be a chain of command. To everything, there is a time and a season. Okay? And so, in this country, Joe Biden is the president of the United States. He is the leader of the free world. As frightening as that is to say out loud.
Frightening, but fitting.
Yes. But he's actually not the leader of this country. The people are. Did Joe Biden... Well, as soon as I say this, a bunch of you are going to... Yeah! And I would likely agree with much of your sentiment, but just stick with me for a second. All right? There were people... I doubt it was as many as they told us on election night, but there were people that legitimately did go and vote for Joe Biden, correctly? Correct?
Yeah.
That occurred? Yeah. Yeah. So there were people that were legitimately attempting to have him, to select him to represent them. There were people doing that. The debate is over how many people chose to do so, but there is no debate that there were millions, tens of millions, that absolutely were choosing to do so.
For sure.
For sure. So therefore, the coup in the term, in the definition of how we would traditionally denote the term, someone acting unilaterally outside the interest of the people to replace someone else in power, that did not occur here, did it?
Right.
No. We can argue maybe a de facto coup did by, shall we call it now, ballot harvesting in certain locations.
And to get
I would argue such a thing as well. But the strictest definition of coup, there were 10. The debate is not over whether people were determined that Joe Biden is my elected representative for the highest office in the land. The debate is over how many people made this decision, right?
Yes.
Tens of millions of people of their own conscience undoubtedly wanted Joe Biden to represent their interest to this country and the world, right?
Yes.
That occurred.
Yeah, absolutely. Unquestioned.
There were no tanks going down Main Street. We heard no sirens of bombs and planes in the air discharging explosives in order to conquer the nation. None of this took place, correct?
Right.
Correct. We had an election, and whether we can agree to disagree, whatever, on whether the outcome was a just one and was the proper one, but there is no doubt that tens of millions of our countrymen wanted Joe Biden to represent them. You know, I set out the 2008 election because I detested John McCain. He had worked against every attempt that we every time it looked like George W. Bush was going to do something right wing, McCain organized a gang and stabbed us in the back and betrayed us. I can still hear Rush's impersonation of the Maverick in my mind. I can hear it in the back of my conscience hearing those shows back in the day. And then the last straw for me was when he suspended his campaign to pass the TARP. Remember that?
Yes.
He had actually just taken the lead in the Real Clear. Go look it up. He had just taken the lead in the Real Clear Politics polling average. That was September of 2008. He had just taken the lead. And then he suspends his campaign to go pass the most unpopular piece of legislation in so far in the 21st century and just bottomed out after that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I thought for sure, you know what? We'll be better off if he loses and something better will come along. So we get to 2012, and essentially now John McCain without the war record is now the nominee. So everything about John McCain you hated and none of the stuff you actually liked and respected, he takes over, right? Yeah. And I thought, you know, not voting for this guy either. Total fraud. We're running against Obamacare. He gave Obama the idea before he freaking had it, man. What are we even doing here, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, he'll lose and we'll be better off. We'll purge that. We'll move on. And we'll cleanse the palate. Then along comes a guy who's even richer than him, doesn't have at least the laudable family life. And I'm like, well, I can't support that guy. He ended up being a better president than I ever thought he was going to be. And until he decided to end his presidency on March 16th, 2020, and just decided to, and nearly ended the damn country in the process. There were many days throughout 2020, we were never sure that we were ever going to get back to even the levels of normalcy we are having right now. Many days. Now, why do I bring this up? The names change. The eras move on. McCain's a rhino. True. Romney's a corporatist whore. True. Trump lacks character. True. And throughout all this period of time, you keep thinking, all right, if this person goes away, they represent the cancer. They're the tumor. It's them. And so if we take that cudgel away, that fulcrum is removed, the ground will be purified, right? At least that's what I thought. I thought that for several cycles. No. Why? is the one constant through all the years, Ray, is the people. The people. And coming to this realization nearly drove me out of this business. I've talked about it before. I tried to actually get out. And I even did a audition with ESPN Radio on Sirius XM. They told me they loved it and they'd be in contact with me. They never contacted me. I followed up with them and asked. They said, oh, it was a phenomenal audition, but dude, doing more research on you, we can't hire you. I mean, you're toxic. They didn't say that, but that's basically what they described. You know, kind of in the Bible when God says to David, you've spilled too much blood to build my house. That's in a small way what they said to me, that you're too tainted. You couldn't, you can't, you're, in other words, and this is, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I've slayed too many shibboleths of the damned. I've stepped on too many necks. Okay. There's just, it is what it is. And I've made my peace with it. But what nearly drove me out of this was when I realized, oh crap, our own people in many respects aren't any better than their people. Because see, if it's just a few people, bullies that need their shins kicked and a bloody nose, I volunteer for that job. I love that job. I look forward to it. I fetishize it. If anything, I project those qualities upon people sometimes, and I admit this, when maybe they don't deserve it just because of how much I deserve, okay, balancing the scales, okay? And, but if it's systemic, if it's granular, that's a long haul, Hoss. That's not a lifetime of work. That's a generation. That's multi-generations of work. And it's the same people over and over again that anointed McCain, Romney. Over and over again. It's the same thing. Nothing changed. Doing exactly what Fox News told them to do every single time. Nothing changed.
And you haven't even mentioned passing on DeSantis yet.
Yeah. I mean, we're on the brink of seven different existential cliffs, guys, and 7.5% of registered voters in Iowa turned out on caucus night. 7.5%. I just don't even... That's a give up, man. Just a flat out give up. That's Roberto Duran, no mas. That's exactly what it is. Just, I quit.
And you haven't even mentioned in exchange for what yet, yeah. Steve?
Pour one out, doughboy. You know, we poured out the OE and just hit the eject. I bring all this up again because I saw this tweet this morning from someone who I think is a very important voice in our movement and has been in recent years and has done some laudable work that we've cited in the past. Molly Hemingway is one of the senior editors at The Federalist, and she tweeted this morning. She said, or last night, I should say. I just saw it this morning. She said, Biden, McConnell, Schumer, Johnson, and major media players are taking a victory lap over pushing through an additional $61 billion in funding for struggling taxpayers as year three of the Ukraine proxy war begins. They want to own this and absolutely should be forced to own this. Forcing them to own it, though, Molly, would do what? Would do what? Nothing. See, there's no fear of the people left. They don't have to. In 2022, we had an election where we were still coming out of absolute hell as a country. The closest we have felt as a nation since December 8th, 1941, that maybe our way of life is going to come to an end in our time. And what happened, Todd, in that midterm election to all the people who did this to us? How many of them lost, Todd?
None. The status quo was the status quo.
Instead, it was one of the most incumbent, favorable midterm elections in modern American political history. Nobody paid a price. They were all rewarded for it. Nobody paid a price. Then so nobody lost because of this in 2022. In 2024, we had a primary and everybody did this to us won. So we're just going to run them all back. We're going to do it all over again. Exactly what should Mike Johnson, Charles Schumer, I mean, I do like putting them all together in one group. I agree with Molly on that. But exactly what is it that they would have to fear? The answer is nothing, because the people haven't changed. The people are the problem. And that's why we've become even more intentional about a biblical worldview on this show. That's why we're getting even preachier on this show. Because it's very clear we are attempting to harvest a crop that has yet to even be planted. It hasn't even been planted. There aren't even seeds in the ground, man. Let alone, let's just pretend it's the 80s again, and on election day, the harvest is plenty, but the poll workers are few as the silent majority comes rolling in. Pennsylvania had a primary last night. It's the state that gave us Kermit Gosnell and the highest rated tranny so far in American political history. So it gave us arguably the worst serial killer in American history, and now the worst insanity in American history. And just like the last decade, GOP turnout in the Pennsylvania primary last night down 18% from 2020. The people are the problem, man. The people are the problem. The people are the leaders here. And it's the same people and the same generation doing the same things over and over again. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't have a long-term plan. I've given up on one. I don't even contemplate it. And I say this as somebody who's just... The highlight of my morning is when my oldest daughter sends me pictures of my granddaughter every morning. I can't get enough. But I don't have a long-term plan. I don't know what's happening here. This isn't sustainable. That's all that I know. The 2022 midterms messed me up. And we're going to find out this fall if I'm right, and I hope I'm wrong. But the 2022 midterm to me was a watershed for me. When now the easy thing to do is just go vote against a bunch of Democrats who are screwing us, who want to continue many of the policies that put us through hell. And there's no more mean tweets. Trump's not even on Twitter. He's banned. He's not even on the ballot, right? Yeah. This is you want to talk for a complacent, lazy group of people? This was the easiest thing in the world to do. Just roll out of the rack and go vote against Democrats and not be asked to commit to any other action other than that. And we couldn't even do that. 2022, that midterm wrecked me. It has completely changed my calculus moving forward on everything. And I think polling and everything else, and here's the $20 to make up for the last 2 days, by the way. So all righteousness has been fulfilled. I don't think any of that's caught up to it yet. 2022 wrecked me. I have no idea why over 100,000 people went out and voted for Nikki Haley last night in a Pennsylvania primary. 6 weeks after the primary ended, over 100,000 people did. And turnout was down 18% from 2020. You know, when it was hard to vote, because we were still in lockdowns. Okay. I am at this point, man, I'm just trying to fight for survival. I'm just trying to delay everything going on as long as I can. I'm looking at little things like maybe if Trump wins, our buddy Steve Baker won't go to prison, man, and I'll call that a W. That's it. That's what I'm down to. At this point, I'll just vote for Trump in the hopes that he'll stop Steve Baker. He'll win and stop Steve Baker from going to prison. And what is it, 9 or 11 of our brethren in Tennessee won't go to prison? Yes. We're down to that. We're down to, at least I am. I'm down to that. But these people have no reason to fear us, which is why they are just nakedly now taunting us, nakedly now doing the things that they used to do hidden in cloakrooms, because they know that they can. And they get off on it. And we'll keep letting them get away with it. right, back here on the Steve Day Show, powered by our friends over at Relief Factor. If you've just settled, you've just decided, you know what, this chronic pain manifested usually as achiness, soreness, stiffness that lingers, just really overall impacts your quality of life. It's just part of getting old, or there's nothing I can do about it. Maybe there is. We're not guaranteeing anything, but over the years, over a million people have tried the 3-week quick start from Relief Factor, and about 70% of them have seen such great results in just 3 weeks or less that they stuck with the product long term. So you may want to know, what is Relief Factor? Well, it's a supplement created by physicians who can prescribe drugs, but they wanted to come up with something drug-free so you're not dealing with side effects that may come from drugs that often are just used to deal with the pain anyway. They wanted to come up with a supplement that was drug-free that would attack the inflammation that is probably the cause of your chronic pain. And that supplement is Relief Factor. Will it work? Well, only cost you $20 to see if you don't see a difference in your pain in 3 weeks or less. Get the 3-week quick start when you go to relieffactor.com. Again, that's relieffactor.com. $19.95. What do you got to lose for $20? Relieffactor.com. So on Monday's show, we attempted to have what I had hoped was going to be a productive conversation. It turned out to be anything but. And I want to say to the audience, for my role in that process, I apologize. Nevertheless, I do think some issues were raised during that conversation that should be addressed. I just never really got much of a chance to adequately address them. Because I do think that you could have some questions about why we do things on a regular basis. We're humans. We're not infallible beings. And so I wanted to take a few minutes here to answer what I thought were really the three most pertinent items that came up. And again, disagreement, it doesn't necessarily have to be distrust. I mean, I assume that there are good people that disagree with me all the time, or decent people, because I don't think there really are any good people. So how about decent people, authentic people, credible people, people that try to be led by integrity, can disagree on things all of the time. To me, distrust comes when you can't trust why people are doing what they're doing, that maybe there's other motives, other reasons why that they're not disclosing, because the math of what they're claiming doesn't make sense. Okay. And so it was my hope on Monday that I was going to get to answer that part of it. And it didn't work out. I decided to kind of let emotions cool for a period of time. And because right after that show, I had a bunch of we're doing some renovating on the main level of the house. And so I went home and we're getting some stuff, you know, prepped and everything for the people that are going to be doing that work for us. And so I have no idea that all hell has broken loose on social media for like the next 4 hours. I was just like, what? I had no idea. Okay. And so I said to you guys, let's just, you know, tap the brakes, move on. This didn't need to get nearly this as heated as it did. Okay. People are taking this all way too seriously. Nevertheless, there are serious issues, and our show's credibility should always be questioned, as everybody else's should be if you're in the public space. So I thought there were serious issues about our credibility, mine in particular, that should be addressed. So I wanted to take a few minutes to address them, if that's okay with you guys. Yes. You okay with that? Okay. So to me, I think there's three pertinent questions that need to be answered that I never got a chance to answer on Monday. I want to answer them now. Let's start with number one. How can you justify voting for Trump given his character concerns? Well, the character of a person also include. I think you may disagree. You may think that the only thing that really should take precedence is what goes on in their private life. You may think that there are things that they could do in their private life that would disqualify their public acts of service. And I would agree with that. For example, if you found out that a great pediatrician also had a heinous catalog of child porn, that would kind of cancel out his work as a pediatrician to many people, right? Justifiably, right?
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people thought John Wayne Gacy was a very entertaining birthday clown and he really knew his way around watercolors. And then they dug up his yard in Illinois and found a bunch of bodies buried there. And suddenly his work as a clown and a painter takes on an entirely different context and ends up being the inspiration for Stephen King's Pennywise, right?
Yes.
So there are events that can take place in somebody's private life that would cancel out whatever matters of public service they have done. In my view, what's gone on in Donald Trump's private life, while deplorable, no pun intended, and actually maybe there is a pun intended this time, but that I think also has to be weighed against his acts of public service. The fact that our sons and now daughters weren't sent off to die in any stupid wars, I think counts for somebody's character. Because we had some presidents here who were really good to their wives and didn't put their kids through divorces, but they sent our sons and daughters off to die in some pretty stupid wars. So I think that should count. I think making us energy independent, so there was even less incentive for people to go off and die in stupid wars, I think that should count for somebody's character. Now, the operative phrase here is that's what I think. I didn't cite a scripture verse, or I think when we're dealing with individual assessments of people, these are individual assessments of people, and we all get to do our own individual assessments. But I did not think I could justify voting for him before he took public office. And then I thought his record while in public office was strong enough that now it factors into his overall character. And so I do think his pre-March 16th, 2020 record should be a part of assessing Donald Trump's character. I do. And so that's how I would do it. Number two, the second question we're going to wrestle with here. How can you justify voting for Trump while vehemently lambasting his COVID and Operation Warp Speed decisions, which I, again, just referenced the previous segment of the show again? Those decisions are inexcusable. I think 2020 was one of the worst years in the history of the U.S. presidency. One of the worst years any president's ever had, ever. The mistakes that were made there are of existential nature. And therefore, if you are like, that is why I cannot possibly give this guy another chance, how many times, Todd, have I argued with anybody who has that position if that's what it's based on?
No.
And guess how many times I will in the future if that's what it's based on?
Same.
And as I said on Monday's program, even amongst the three of us here on this show, as of today, I am absolutely voting for him. On any given day, Todd is flipping Harvey Dent's coin.
And no matter what the day, I don't want to vote for him.
Right.
I just don't.
It's just a matter of whether you think you have to on the given day that we're going to actually sit down to vote or not.
And I won't be deciding before October.
I think Aaron is probably in your situation, but is more aspiring and hoping that he doesn't do it. Is that a fair characterization based on the last time we talked about this?
I think he's the one who on today is closest to not.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's fair. But we all work together. And we're all friends. We share our, you know, what's going on in our lives with each other. So I would actually urge people that want more of our base to vote for Trump. I think the worst tactic you could take is to try to shame them. I think because there are these existential objections, and if you try to shame people, you're basically telling them that you're gaslighting them. You're saying, hey, these things that are legit reasons why you have concerns, because he did make these decisions, they're not valid. That's not a way to persuade people, actually. That's a way to get them to dig their heels in all the more and question your character and credibility. Well, why are you overlooking these kinds of things? For me, the difference in the country from the day Trump took office until March 16, 2020. Because, see, I think you have to also judge how Trump was president beforehand. And then I think you also have to calculate into that the things that were done that were good, while also during all of those moments, an active coup is taking place at the exact same time. So the difference in the country from... So Trump, I said a minute ago, I thought he made some of the worst, maybe had the worst year any president's ever had in modern history in 2020. The first 3 years of his presidency were the best any president's had since I came of voting age, you know, and maybe longer. I mean, I couldn't vote when Reagan was president. You know, I know historically what Reagan did, but I also wasn't examining these things as in depth in real time at 14 or 12 years old like I am today. Does that make sense? So I don't know how much of that is nostalgia for my childhood and how much of that is real. Fair?
Right.
Okay. So in the era since I have been actively participating in the process and paying close attention, the first 3 years of Trump's presidency were the best of my lifetime, of that lifetime, the best. Just the best as a standalone. Now compare it to what's gone on in the 3 years since he left the White House. And I just don't think that's sustainable on any level. I just don't. If you bought a mortgage the day before Joe Biden took office, you are paying 100% less monthly mortgage payment than the person who bought a mortgage yesterday. I just don't think that's sustainable. I just don't. And we went from energy independence to the most depleted petroleum preserve we've had since the Cold War ended. I just don't think that's sustainable. I just don't. So, again, though, the mistakes that were made in 2020, that's his record too. And those mistakes are cosmic. And he's unrepentant for them. So if that's your tap out, man, I'm not here to argue against you. I'm not. Number three, how can you both criticize the increasing possibility good patriots were pilfered over the 2020 election being stolen, but also still believe the stolen election narrative? Well, Todd, we opened the show and you were highly critical of the devoutly Catholic president, correct?
As critical as I could possibly be.
Also very critical of your church for not disciplining him according to the traditions and the ecclesiastical authority that the church itself claims, correct?
So much so that I said it's the best reason you can have to not be Catholic right now.
Correct. But do you still vehemently believe in the historical claims of the Catholic Church?
I absolutely do.
That's how. So this particular manifestation of Catholicism, you're not a fan.
Not at all, because okay. It's not even Catholicism.
Yeah. But the historical claims of the Catholic Church are what you think binds your conscience to be Catholic.
Ride or die.
Okay. So on my end, all right, I am beyond disgusted by what evangelicalism has produced down its assembly line via Mike Johnson and Mike Pence. Nevertheless, the guiding principle of my entire conscience is sola scriptura, that the word of God is the ultimate authority. So if I abandon that because of what Mike Johnson and Mike Pence have done, I've actually not said that sola scriptura is my ultimate authority, have I? I've said that Mike Johnson and Mike Pence are, that they are determining my conscience. Similarly, if you abandon Catholicism on the behavior of the current iteration of papal authority or the president who represents it to billions of people worldwide, then you're basically saying Pope Francis and the current College of Cardinals and Joe Biden were really your church and really what binded your conscience and not the historical claims of the Catholic Church itself.
Yeah, I would say I belong to a church that started 12 years ago.
Correct.
Instead of 2000.
Correct. So if I allow the behavior of grifters, of Lynn Wood and Jason Miller and all these people, if I let them determine what I do or do not think is true, then ultimately my prism for determining truth is what?
Them.
Not what I actually think is true. So I've got all kinds of problems with what manifests itself in evangelical Christianity. Hasn't convinced me yet, though, that sola scriptura is the wrong cornerstone for my faith. If anything, it's undergirded it more. Can't trust people. Just can't. No matter what. Can't. Trust the word of God. Trust no man. So, my concerns about the 2020 election have never been answered. All the chain of custody concerns, why they were boarding up windows and blackening them out, how it is possible that we had the highest volume, unprecedented volume of mail-in ballots ever. And yet the turndown rate of mail-in and absentee ballots went down. What process gets more efficient from government with more volume? None. And yet we're told to believe that it did here. And it just so happened in the handful of counties, they didn't win almost any of the bellwether counties. And in the handful of urban counties that they totally control, they just so happen to keep counting and delivering votes until they got the votes totals they needed to swing five states by a grand total of less than 40,000 votes. If you believe that was on the up and up, and you are welcome to do so, You have more faith than me. Now, do I think people got grifted and had their money stolen chasing fantastical fantasies that have bankrupted Mike Lindell and everybody else? Yeah.
We begged people to stop doing
that. And at the time, if you listen to our show, we did. We begged them. We literally were counting it down. They're certifying the election in a week, certifying it in a month. We were losing time. This is a waste of time. This isn't going to work. We have to fight. Go listen to the show.
Begging.
I mean, literally pleading. So that's how. People don't determine my principles. My principles do. People don't determine what I think is true. What I think is true does. Doesn't mean I'm right, and doesn't mean my principles are perfect. But I don't base my behaviors or beliefs on people, whether I like them or don't. Now, I hope once and for all this answers these questions. I'm not answering them again. If you email me, I won't address this. You bring it up on Twitter, social media, not talking about this again. Just going to tap the sign like our colleague Oron McIntyre says. April 24th, I answered them once and for all, and I'm moving on.
I hope your sign is made of a sturdy material, Steve.
My resolve certainly is, and you know that. So I'm just not going back here again. If new stuff comes up, if we find out Donald Trump paid for the abortions of mistresses, well, that changes the moral calculus because now we've committed actual murder. Fair. Okay.
Fair.
But it would take new information to change my mind on these things. So you can believe what you want to believe on this, but I do think it's fair that you know why I believe what I believe on this. And so I wanted to share that with you. And I scheduled this conversation on Monday in the hopes we were going to discuss it then. And we just did not. And so I wanted to do that today. And now I'm done. Todd, you have anything you want to add in the final 45 seconds here that we have?
This has been a fantastic hour talking about, in both cases, the people. Which Steve just said, ultimately, this comes down to the people and where we bottom line the future for our children. And there's a lot of bad, tough decisions. This is akin to a war. And in a war, you do things that aren't comfortable. And it's tragic it's come to that. But I know on this show, even well before I've ever been a part of it, Steve's been trying to tell you it doesn't have to be this way. Y'all chose it to be this way. And now we're here.
Buy, sell, or hold is next. All right, back here with Hour 2 here on The Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. I'm Steve Dace with Todd Erzin and Victoria running the board in place of Aaron, who returns on Monday. Let us know what you think about what we think via the SteveDace.com inbox. You can access it by emailing us, steve@stevedace.com. That's DEACE. Like us on Facebook, MeWe, and Gab. Follow me at Steve Dace Show on Twitter, Gitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also, if you are a podcast listener, you can also leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. We would never ask you to bear false witness, but Steve, I kind of like the show. It depends on the day. We would ask you to exaggerate. There's no commandment against thou shalt not exaggerate, right? Is that okay? Am I on solid theological footing here or not?
Well, you know, let's ask Joe Biden. He's pretty rock solid on such things.
We would ask you to exaggerate. All right. We won't beg for permission, but we'll ask for forgiveness later if we have to on that. Okay. So, and then if you wouldn't mind, hit subscribe or on iTunes, follow. And that way, every time we do a new episode, it'll show up in your feed every single time. And we thank all of you that have done those things for us already. Each and every one of them matters, and we appreciate them. We also appreciate our friends over at Freedom Project Academy, because they've been on the ground floor of trying to do something about what a lot of you were exposed to in very graphic ways. If there's anything good that came out of COVID at all, it is that it forced millions of American parents who had just kind of delegated the discipleship of their children to the government schools to become of much more knowledge of the carnal knowledge being given to their children. And so a lot of you are now looking for alternatives. Check out Freedom Project Academy. They have perfected the art of online learning. They offer live, on-demand homeschool courses K through 12, built on Judeo-Christian values and classical curriculum. What's that mean, by the way? It means they encourage critical thinking. They're not trying to snuff it. They're trying to encourage it. Seen firsthand how good these guys are. My own son, Noah, he was a part of FPA for a few years and had great progress with them. I know Dr. Duke Pesta and some of the people that founded it. We fought together against Common Core a decade ago. So these folks understand what your child needs to become what you ultimately want them to become as adults. And right now you can save 10% on tuition when you enroll at Freedom for School, F-O-R, freedomforschool.com. That's freedomforschool.com. Check out their fully accredited courses, teachers, preview classes. You can also request a free information packet, freedomforschool.com, freedomforschool.com. All right, let us begin with some buy, sell, or hold. All right. You guys have submitted them. I'm going to go through them in real time. I've not seen any of them in advance. All right. And we'll get through as many of these as we can. There's about 400. So I'm sure there's a lot of them that are repetitive. I'm not going to address any of them that are about what happened on the show Monday. We're just moving on from
we'll probably get through more again than we do with Aaron, because Aaron uses these to troll us, specifically you. So then we're just
stuck. That is true, too. He has an ulterior motive there. That's true. All right. So we'll get through as many as we can in this hour, and then we'll pick a few that are left over, and we'll discuss those in the overtime for Blaze TV subscribers at blazetv.com/Dace. Todd, you and I are going to decide, are we going to buy that? Are we going to sell it? Okay. If you decide to hold, what should happen, do you think? If you decide to hold for any reason at all, what should happen to you? What is something demeaning that you'd be willing to do? I'll tell you what.
Say college football is a legitimate enterprise.
Set your feet?
Yes. I would set my feet gladly.
Okay. That's what we're going to do. If you hold for any reason, you've got to teach Lindsey Graham how to set his feet.
Well, world's colliding.
Yes.
That's just...
You have to... That's, and you're going to have
to
get...
See what you did there?
You're going to have to get real close, all right, to teach that drill, all right? Indeed. All right, ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's begin with a Florida man, because it's the very first one that showed up in my feed. Victoria, buy, sell, or hold. From this time forward, Victoria can run the board, and Aaron should sit behind that third microphone on the set. Well, I believe, Victoria, you've got plans to go to school, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the future, you know, when she's done with school, that is certainly something that could be discussed in the future. If somebody's still stupid enough to pay us to do this in that period of time, and she doesn't have bigger and better things to move on to, because I think she's demonstrated a high amount of capability, so she could definitely have bigger and better things to move on to. But that's not the worst idea in the world.
No. Bye.
Okay.
Of course, Aaron needs to learn, as he said, what to do with his hands and everything. I mean, there's going to be some work involved on that. So
okay. Chad Steenhook says, buy, sell, or hold. Joe Rogan converts to Christianity before Steve gets invited to speak at CPAC.
Oh, bye.
There's virtually...
Not because there's
virtually
really
anything.
Of,
virtually anything you could predict will occur before I will be invited to speak at CPAC, but yes.
No, I mean, he's... Joe Rogan could be at some Maypole festival this weekend, and he's still closer to what you just said than Steve is to CPAC, so yeah.
Buy, sell, or hold. Sean Griffiths said, sports fandom is the opiate of Western society.
Oh. This is not... It's not a rhetorical flourish. Tell me which one is bigger amongst men. Of course.
I mean, I have to buy. I mean, we just know way more about our sports teams than we do what's going on in our country. I mean, I think that just kind of settles it there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, look what happened today with Reggie Bush And they flat out saying the Heisman Committee, the lay of the land has changed drastically in the last however many since 2005. They're telling you we have no ethical core. That's what that means. We stand for nothing. It is the Oprah show. I highlighted it. My retweet was, it is the Oprah show. You get a car. You get a car. It's soap operas for men. You guys, this is exactly what it is. Just own it. At least own it. That's honest. You're lying about it just makes everything worse. You're very soft. You don't really want anything other than this. You know it's true.
Michael O'Brien says, Steve's upcoming book about the making of Nefarious, regaling us with stories about demonic intrusions, illnesses, and obstructions, will be an inspiring read about how good will prevail. Well, I'm not aware that that book is upcoming, but I do think I'll buy that it would be quite a very inspiring tale if we ever got around to actually writing it. Yes. All right. This one's a yo. Aberration says, buy, sell, or hold. In 10 years, at least 25% of the male population aged 18 to 35 will have an AI girlfriend.
I don't think it's going to take 10 years. So bye. Dennis Miller was right. It's going to make crack look like Sanka. And all the same reasons I just got done saying about sports. What do we stand for that's going to prevent this from happening?
This is... Cut me deep, Shrek. I mean, this one is one of those things that is right in front of you, but you hadn't contemplated yet. You hadn't gotten to the point of doing that math yet. And it just punches you right in the gut. I mean... Yeah. Now, I don't know how that society survives. Like, I don't. I don't know how it survives.
It's not different than this society. It's the same. We're not surviving right now. This is not... We just have too much stuff. We are as impoverished morally and ethically... Because at any other time, the wheels just come off a lot faster because we always, throughout human history, had less stuff to gussy it up with. You already mentioned what we're going to be
talking about. I'm having a hard time moving on from that one, man. I mean, that one is a throat punch.
I'm just going to highlight what you said. I told you something off air. You said... That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow already?
Yeah.
It speaks exactly to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We stand for absolutely nothing in the easiest circumstances, the most obvious 1+1, 2 equals circumstances. We're terrified to say 2. We'll say anything else. Tell me anything else. I'll say 5. I'll say giraffe. I'll say Pluto. It doesn't matter.
Pat Oney writes, buy, sell, or hold. Deciding on what color lightsabers are going to be used in the Duel of the Fates on Todd's lawn is more serious than the presidential campaigns from the courtroom or the basement nursing home.
Such feet.
I mean, I don't know how you can't buy that.
I know.
I mean, we're almost to the end of April. We went through the first full month of the general election campaign since both guys clinched their party's nominations. And the only issue conversations we've had are Trump deciding to tear his own base apart over abortion and Biden, you know, just coming out every few days when a new poll shows he's struggling with younger voters and forgiving more student loan debt. Those are the only things we've discussed. The entire month.
Yeah.
No other serious issues have taken place and everything. And then we just watched Congress betray us. And then they funded the very FISA program that put the country through 3 years of hell with a coup. And then Trump's response was vote how you want.
And to your Molly Hemingway point, the people are grateful for that, Steve. They're not clamoring, we want more, we want better, we deserve
more.
That
is true.
The people are like, yeah, how, Steve, how many cycles already? Every time, all the commercials, I cannot wait for it to go away. That's, people have been hating on democracy and the responsibilities they're in as a citizen for a very long time. This isn't new to this cycle. They don't... Loki was right. They were made to be ruled. They want to be ruled. They don't want to sort through the issues. They want to move on. They are. This is probably the best people, Stephen, my age. They're probably enjoying this more than any electoral cycle in the last 25 years because the candidates aren't even trying to talk to us.
It's not even really being demanded of them.
No. But ask them about, oh man, tomorrow, NFL draft. They have thoughts.
I am looking forward to the NFL draft tomorrow. I am looking forward to it. I like the NFL draft. I also work about 60 hours a week on the culture war, though, so is it okay for me to enjoy the draft?
Don't ask me questions. Don't ask me questions.
All right. Johnson Tucker, buy, sell, or hold. Taking into account that angels, fallen angels, were sleeping with humans, as we see in the early passages of Genesis, it would explain a number of the mysteries on how ancient structures and civilizations were built. Buy, sell, or hold. Meaning that you're dealing with advanced technologies and stuff way beyond what they were capable of independently in that era.
Taking that as broadly as possible in its application, I'll buy.
So I'm going to buy. Someone's been listening to Haunted Cosmos, that podcast, which we got to have those guys on. But this is kind of their answer to a lot of these ancient mysteries, is they think it's from this era of the early era of human history, when fallen angels or demons were procreating with humans. That's what they think it's from. So, Gina says Foreigner should invite Pat Gray, Keith Malinick, who's from Pat's show, Jeffy, Chris Cruz, to their induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Are they getting inducted?
I think I heard that they are.
Are they finally getting inducted? It blows my mind. And again, this is where I'm going to have a generational bias the other way. Okay. But it blows my mind that Green Day got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame their first year of eligibility. And when we were there to visit it last year and Foreigner was not in yet, it just blew my mind.
Head games.
Yeah. I mean,
that's perfect.
Yeah. Well, yes it is. But I mean, that blew my mind. So I'm guessing that Gina, you are saying that, our morning show crew here at the Blaze, the Pat Gray show, they're big fans of Foreigner. Their induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is long overdue. I could not believe they weren't in that. I think I came back here last August when Amy and I visited there and told you guys, did you know Foreigner wasn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean, it just blew my mind. I mean, I love Duran Duran as a kid of the 80s. How did Duran Duran get in before Foreigner? How's that even possible?
Well,
how did Dolly Parton get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before Foreigner?
The most obvious answer is that even though this is a Hall of Fame, which by definition, certainly when you're starting, should be like the old folks get it, you know. I mean, whenever the Baseball Hall of Fame opened, which, Steve, do you remember? I mean, it was...
Oh, that was like in the 40s, I want to say.
I mean,
because like that initial class with Babe Ruth.
They were still alive, but they were old men, and it was the greats of the greats. I mean, you know, the Walter Johnson and things, Christy Mathewson, things like that, but... The simple truth of the matter is there's the people running the Hall of Fame. It's like woke government right now. Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of Ocasio-Cortezes. If you ask them who's Foreigner, the people actually running the Hall of Fame, I bet they're like, kind of. I think I've heard of those old guys. I don't think they know. They know Green Day. That's more recent.
We're talking about one of
recency bias.
Best-selling arena rock era bands of that era.
If the Hall of Fame is run like almost everything else is run, all pro sports, wokeified, don't you think that's what it is? And they probably said something somewhere, like the bassist probably said, I voted Republican in 72 once, and they got a hold of that, and that was a mean tweet. That's how this works.
I love that this show has been able to take foreigners' lack of induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as the basis for a broader moral assessment of American culture. I love that. Okay. When probably at the height of their popularity, many parents were like, this is an example of why American culture is in real trouble.
And also, I don't even know if the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame knows what it really is.
I know this. It's far less woke than the Country Music Hall of Fame is. It's way less woke. It's not even close, man. Not even close.
But it begs the question, what is rock and roll?
Sure.
And are we being too... I was listening to the radio, and isn't Mariah Carey about to get in as well?
Well, you know that I would put Mariah Carey in almost every Hall of Fame, but yes.
But that's not rock and roll. That's just pop. Is it the Pop Music Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
is this?
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's rappers that have been inducted and hip-hop artists.
Can I stress this? This is important for my personal integrity. I don't care. And I want you to know that,
consents.
And I think you do.
Hey!
Yeah.
So we can't have lightsaber fights, but we can debate this.
I do not care.
Okay.
I really don't.
This is Todd covering his rear flank. Well done. Hey, we had family. We try to do family dinner almost every Sunday at our house if everybody's in town. And a couple of weeks ago, when the weather was really nice, fired up the Blackstone, and the request was burgers. And we didn't have enough of the burgers from Backyard Butchers, so we had to go to the store and get the store-bought ones to supplement it so we had enough burgers for everybody. I got to tell you, man, I tried one of each because I was curious how they were going to taste. And the Backyard Butchers grass-fed ones were just dramatically better. I mean,
the things that you will do in the name of science.
I know.
Two burgers?
I know.
Man,
I know.
You sacrifice.
Do not let it be said that Steve Dace will not act on what he truly believes. Yes. All right, but I mean, if you guys know how Blackstone works, it's a big grill plate. So, I mean, I grilled them all at once. All right. And so they were all made side by side. I'm the one doing the grilling. They were all seasoned the same. There was no, you know what I'm saying? So no, the control group here was sound. And I got to tell you, I was blown away by how much better the Backyard Butchers ones were. So you want to make it your only source for beef and chicken from American farms, delivering cuts right to your doorstep every month, grass-fed and grass-finished. And yes, the meat tastes amazing. And right now, you can go to backyardbutchers.com, save an extra 20% off your entire order by using the code DACE. And when you subscribe, you'll get an additional 10% off and free shipping at backyardbutchers.com/DACE. That's backyardbutchers.com/DACE. All right, let's continue on here on Buy, Sell, or Hold. John Kincaid, there will be a very serious attack at the Paris Olympics this summer, equal to or greater than Munich in 1972.
These are things I hate even speaking into existence. I know Steve shares that thought as well, but, you know, we've been talking about what is the Black Swan moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just I heard, you know, there's now bird flu stuff is out there, tech over, you know, some kind of tech. I just saw this today, I think, or yesterday. You know, internet.
Using basically the next shutdown is the internet.
Yeah. So,
and saying it's a cyber attack from the Russians, and that's the excuse to basically filter which content they want to let people see and not see during the election, basically.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything specific about Paris, but all of it, and it all applies to what Steve already said in his monologue. It's because, like, we have just decided that you can experiment on us in all manner of ways.
And frankly, France is another Western country that has imported much of the worldview that would want to pull off this kind of attack, which is the same worldview that pulled off the attack in 1972, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to buy in the hopes that having more people speak the possibility of this into existence would cause the people in authority to do what must be done to make sure such a thing does not happen. Tyler Moat says the Dune movies are the most well-done sci-fi movies of the modern era. Buy, sell, or hold. Well, I think we have to define modern era. So he didn't define it. So why don't you and I define what's a modern era for you? 10 years? Decade.
Well, I wouldn't.
You'd go back further or not as far?
I think the modern era starts with Star Wars.
Okay. Well, then the answer is
isn't that
sell.
The baseline for everything?
Okay, if we're going to the 70s, then in the original trilogy, then I'm going to sell. I do think the first one was fantastic. I think the second one is a Lord of the Rings level masterpiece.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
So I definitely think it's the best sci-fi that's been done in the last decade. Because here's the thing. Are we calling the MCU sci-fi, or is that more in the just strict fantasy realm then? Or is it the superhero genre gets its own thing, maybe? Because I wouldn't say that this was as good as Infinity War or Endgame. I wouldn't say that. But I mean, it's the closest to those movies or the Lord of the Rings films since those movies, I would say.
I think the person asking this question
should
probably
define it.
Would not include superhero movies in sci-fi,
okay.
Strictly speaking.
Right.
I know they're
okay,
probably
then,
pretty...
Then we're excusing the MCU. Lord of the Rings is more of a fantasy realm. Okay. Then I would say, all right, buy, sell, or hold. It's the best science fiction since Rogue One. I could buy that. I could buy that for sure. And what was Rogue One? 2017? So 7 years? I could buy that. Okay.
There have been a lot of crappy movies since then, so that's the bar is not too high. I just haven't seen the second one, so I'm just going to sell.
Uncommon Sense says pre-2020 physical encyclopedias will be a commodity in the future. What's that Denzel Washington movie?
Yeah. Oh, the Book of Eli?
Book of Eli,
oh,
yeah. He's
That's
kind of referencing that a little
book.
Bit. I mean, I could see that being a buy. I mean, more information that's less tainted, maybe. Yeah, I could buy that, sure.
I'm selling, but I think taking more generally, the written word, books, actual hard copy, yeah, I agree with that.
Aaron Rialli writes, buy, sell, or hold, the long march to the institutions was demonic in nature because no human would work for something so sinful that they wouldn't see the fruition of if they weren't being supernaturally driven. In other words, this requires something beyond even political or deep ideological conviction, but religious conviction. And you know, religious convictions only come supernaturally, and there's only two options of where they come from, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what he's saying, heaven or hell.
Yeah. We're hopelessly selfish in the most ridiculous and juvenile of ways. This is soap operas for men and things like that. But the one who really wants to take everything from God, ultimately. In his own, and it's interesting watching how this plays out in Steve's book and in the movie, how the learning curve of the darkness itself, and it ultimately has to, while hating God, it has to co-opt as much of God as it can for its biggest plans. And so it had to be long suffering. It had to play the long game. And that's not what I mean.
Yeah, humans as
we are just,
humans on our own don't typically play a long game.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. Uncontested to Electric Boogaloo writes, buy, sell, or hold on John Fetterman's current trajectory. Once he's done serving, this is the one I did see ahead of time. It was in my replies. I didn't know it was in the buy, sell, or hold, so I've seen this one. On John Fetterman's current trajectory, once he's done serving, he will have his own show on the Blaze called Unfettered. Buy, sell, or hold.
I'll buy, and I honestly... I'd like to go back. And what with him in Pennsylvania, you on the show today already mentioned Gosnell and Dick Levine, but like, did we all just make certain assumptions? Was he always this guy? Had the stroke, and we're so tribal that he had to be a loony. I mean, has he changed is my point.
I have no idea.
They show that graph about, like, and we just talked about that with Bill Maher. Has he changed?
Seriously research him until he won the primary because we didn't know who their candidate was going to be. He had a contested primary too. Yeah. And then all we saw of him during that process, he was basically a walking VAERS report.
Right.
Okay. That's all we saw. You know? So that's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that. I do know that we did like a conservative power rating of U.S. senators a couple of months ago on the show, right? It was sometime during the winter we did this. Yeah. And I think we had him our 12th power-rated senator, the 12th best senator out of 100, which just goes to show you how bad the Republican Party sucks, by the way. But yeah, we had him number 12. And there's, 48 Republicans? So we had him rated higher than 35 of them, 36 of them. Which, again, just goes to show you how much this party just sucks. Dominic, along those lines, Dominic Wet Bandit says, buy, sell, or hold, Mike Johnson is the worst Republican politician in American history. In American history. So worse than Nixon.
He is worse than Nixon.
I mean, worse than Nixon.
Okay. Nixon was not a...
No, Nixon took us off the gold standard. Nixon introduced a lot of the price controls and everything else that then Jimmy Carter tried later on. Okay, did get us out of Vietnam, as he promised, and that's one of the reasons why he won an overwhelming majority in 1972. Okay. Now, one of the things I'm totally not comfortable with is the attempt to retcon Nixon. Not comfortable with it. Eat Watergate aside, just not comfortable with it.
I don't need to.
Not my style of Republican, really, at all.
Right. I just don't.
I mean, Richard Nixon's closer to Mitt Romney's view of the world than my own.
As a politician, he was absolutely more skilled. I mean, there's no skill here. This is just selling out. And that's not elevating Nixon. But the worst, I think I'm just selling because. Let's not give him that much credit. I mean, there's a long train of abuses that he is now riding the wave of that allows him to be like this.
Like, I think one of the worst Republican politicians just steamrolled his way through a primary as governor of Ohio back in 2022. See, I'm back to that election cycle again. That election cycle, dude, has just wrecked me.
Good.
Me.
And that's why you'll recall the results.
I'm out of faith.
What did I call that election?
In the process.
Was the most important election of our lifetime, and I was right.
I am a broken vessel after that election. I'm just broken.
And you're better for it.
All right, we'll come back. More Buy, Sell, or Hold in a moment. Folks, the attack on excellence in America is putting our lives and our country's very future at risk. For example, you guys have heard of things like ESG, DEI. Well, essentially, this is a dangerous watering down of American standards. For example, the American Medical Association, because, you know, the last thing we really needed as a people was even more reason to not trust the national healthcare intelligentsia after what we just went through during COVID, right? But let's throw another shrimp on the bobby, shall we? Okay. The AMA now declaring medicine is imbued with white supremacy. So standards must be lowered. I think we should have the fine folks at the AMA volunteer to be the first people surgically operated upon by those who got in via lower standards. Todd?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes indeed have ruled. You can read more about this in the latest edition of In Primis, Hillsdale College's free digest of liberty that goes to more than 6.5 million homes and businesses, featuring voices like Christopher Rufo, Victor Davis Hanson, and so many more. Daceforhillsdale.com is where you can go. There's no obligation or cost at all to subscribe. Daceforhillsdale.com. Sign up today. Don't miss an issue. At daceforhillsdale.com. All right, back to Buy, Sell, or Hold. Todd, you ready to go?
Yes.
All right. I'm Pittsburgh says, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese will team up and start a Save Girls sports movement within the WNBA. For people that don't know, yesterday Angel Reese tweeted out something along the lines of Save Girls sports as well.
Well, it was one sentence, and it based on the timing of things going on, there's a meeting tomorrow where the NCAA will consider the same thing that the NAIA considered. They could vote on it. So it's likely that she was speaking to this, but we were so starving for just about any morsel. I mean, she just didn't flat out and come out and, you know, go plant the flag at the 50-yard line either. So I need more. I mean, I'm not going to discourage it, but at this point, I have to sell. Again, based on what I shared with Steve a half hour ago, and we're going to be talking about on the show tomorrow, courage on this is not coming easily.
I'm going to buy, because I think it's the generation that's more directly impacted, and therefore courage is more obligatory.
Please be right.
Okay. Nestor Rivera, buy, sell, or hold. Mike Johnson is just Nancy Pelosi with Bible verses. Oh, man.
Yep.
Dude. I mean, that's a dude. But I got to buy.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, how would things be fundamentally different?
Right.
So Mike Johnson's going to go give a speech at Columbia decrying anti-Semitism. Would Nancy Pelosi do that? No. But here's the thing. Is Mike Johnson empowered as Speaker of the House? Is that what we need him to do, go give speeches? No, we need him to use the authority. If he wants to go get... is there a value in going to Columbia University and speaking out against anti-Semitism there right now? Yeah. But you see, how many people could go and do that? Lots of people could do that, right?
Yeah.
How many people can govern the House of Representatives? Well, right now, only one person can do that, and that's him. See what I'm trying? We've got a farm team of people we could send to Columbia University to go off about anti-Semitism. We got one Speaker of the House, man. One. Do your damned job. And on that front, it's not any different than what we would have gotten out of Nancy Pelosi.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where we want to go next? Let me see. Tom Kuhar says, when Aaron returns, he'll need to do a 2-hour what happened while he was away. I've thought about whether I should have him do like your top 10 things, because I mean, I could see him sitting down at the desk and he's like, okay, man. And then like in 3 hours later, he's like, I can't get this down to like 15 minutes. Okay.
You cannot wield it. No, that's asking the impossible. If he just showed like a clown car, that would sum it up.
The Berean Times say Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans will renew their respective roles in some multiverse scenario in the MCU. Buy, sell, or hold. I'm going to buy that both will. I think both will do it.
Sell.
Buy, sell, or hold from Brandon Dibdol. I think I got it right, Brandon. A milquetoast Republican will succeed DeSantis as governor of Florida and immediately roll back substantial conservative wins accomplished by his administration.
I hate that this is probably true.
I'm going to say sell. Now, I don't... The most likely person... Unless Casey wants to do it, and I saw a poll last week that had her way ahead of everybody else in the 2026 Republican primary, and I've never heard word one from her that she does. Okay, unless Casey wanted to do it, the most likely scenario is the Attorney General Ashley Moody will be the nominee for governor, from what I'm told, and I don't know her at all, haven't met her at all, don't know her at all. I know R. Steve Baker met with her about some of the concerns of what was happening to Floridians that are being unjustly persecuted by the January 6th tribunal. And that's all that I know. But I do know a lot of people around the governor that have spoken very highly of her, but I don't know her at all. The problem that she would have, let's just assume it's her and she's very milquetoast. Let's assume that's the case for the sake of this question. The things that DeSantis has done, by and large, are at the statute level. It is not going to be easy for someone to go in there and roll those things back. And it won't be as simple as it'll be done in a year or in a month or a term because of the stroke of a pen. I mean, most of these are things that have been accomplished at the statute level via the legislative process. I mean, these are the laws of Florida.
Are we a nation of laws, though, Steve?
Well, the problem is, though, of course we're not. But the political will it will take to undo them will require more than just undoing Donald Trump's executive orders in a month like Joe Biden did. This stuff is deeply embedded. And hey, in the end, unbridled human nature is contained by only one thing on earth, and that's the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I'm not saying it cannot be done, but it won't be as simple as I'm just going to go undo a bunch of DeSantis's executive orders, and we're going to go back to being corporatist whores. It's going to take a much more intricate process to undo many of DeSantis's reforms. Not saying that they can't be done or they won't try, but it won't be like Joe Biden in a month could just basically undo the entire Trump presidency, because everything Trump did that was good was largely via executive order or policy making at the agency or department level, not legislatively. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. I'm so used to, and I see like some of the excuse making even amongst the Iowa legislators who, again, ended up recovering and have a third excellent session in a row. But the amount of excuses they still have to pull punches, and a lot of it, people will recognize that they like the winning. These are important issues. But the amount of resentment there just is for the leadership, for how they pull it off, because looking that in the mirror makes them have to look their own weakness. And they don't like it and they resent it. It's a huge problem in the GOP. I mean, honestly, it's the same. Look at what they did to Winston Churchill. Well, saved the world. Yeah.
Oh, much of the Republican Party in Florida. Well, I shouldn't say much because I don't know that for a fact. I do know that there is still a significant portion of the Republican Party of Florida. What is significant? I don't know. Significance, just say more than 10%. Mm-hmm. That would much love to go back and do things the Rick Scott way. That would much prefer to just, let's just, you know, pimp out whatever Trump troll is trending today. That doesn't want to actually have to do the hard work of legislating and governing.
That's comfortable to them.
Correct. Yeah. Let's talk about our friends at Patriot Mobile before we do as many buy, sell, or hold submissions as possible to close out the show. They've been on the vanguard of the alternative parallel economy for about a decade now, and they are America's only American mobile phone provider. You don't have to directly give money to people who hate you anymore, and instead, you'll also get a great product, and that's the real bonus. They've got an outstanding customer service team. I can attest to it firsthand. They've just gone the extra mile for our family. I've got so many great notes over the years from people that they've done this for you as well, because it's a little bit like those Aaron Rodgers State Farm commercials. Oh, it's because I'm Aaron Rodgers. It's because we're promoting you that you guys are going the extra mile for us. No, I've heard from many of you over the years that they do it for you too. That's just standard operating procedure over there. If you want to make the switch today, if you're a veteran or first responder, let them know they've got extra ways to say thank you for your service. All of us can get access to a free activation with the offer code Steve when you go to patriotmobile.com/Steve. You can keep your phone, you can upgrade your phone, you can keep your number, change your number, they'll customize it any way you want for your family, and they'll do that for you if you go to patriotmobile.com/Steve. That's patriotmobile.com/Steve. All right. D-Dub says, these are the top five movie characters that best reflect the inner Steve Dace. Okay. Hugh Laurie in House MD, Alan Alda in MASH, Chris Farley in Tommy Boy, Ernest Borgnine in Emperor of the North. So that's the first one that I have not seen. I don't know anything about. And James Spader in The Blacklist. I am going to recuse myself from answering this for obvious reasons. So Todd, I will allow you.
James Spader in The Blacklist, yes. And the other bookend of this was... what was the first one?
Hugh Laurie in House.
Have you ever seen that?
I have, yeah.
Yes, for sure. There's not Alan Alda in MASH. No, that's not.
What about Chris Farley and Tommy Boy? There's a little of that in there, I think. I do say so myself.
That doesn't really ring true to me.
Okay. So are you buying or selling his list?
Selling.
Okay. I like that you even tried, though.
Of course, watch us find out that Ernest Borgnine just nails you in that movie, whatever it was.
Yeah, one day we'll look at that movie, I'm like, wow.
It's like a look in the mirror.
Yeah, that stuck the landing, yes. Eunice Haynes says, buy, sell, or hold. Speaker Johnson will be removed from his position by August.
Sell.
Sell?
Yeah.
You think he survives the year then?
Yeah.
Let me throw a buy, sell, or hold at you because I tweeted this out earlier.
Okay.
Buy, sell, or hold. We'd actually be better off if, at this point, if Congress only reconvened to cut Zelensky checks. Just every few months, get together, cut Zelensky a check, and just stay the hell out of office and don't do a damn thing.
Be more honest.
The rest of the time.
Be more honest.
Well, it would certainly be more honest. That's true. Mini Bomber says, buy, sell, or hold between Title IX, tax increases, court martials for military personnel refusing the pronoun game, and threats against the Second Amendment. The spirit of the age is not bluffing and feels confident with its current hand and is going all in. Buy, sell, or hold.
Buy. I mean, that's even Steve Day Show, bro. I mean, yeah.
The thing that I think makes your point even further, brother, is that we could have picked three or four or five or six other existential flanks and put them together in the same in a submission and drawn the same conclusion. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That it's literally all hell is broken loose.
Yeah.
That it's not just, okay, here's a few tipping points that if that goes, we're in trouble. It's every tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every tipping point, Pandora's box is open on every single tipping point. And so the fact that we could recreate your premise with an entirely different slate of controversies and issues than you yourself itemized is indicative of the trueness of your point.
And in the past, bread and circuses worked. But in the past, they worked on people who were aware that they were being placated with said bread and circuses because they were hungry. They knew. Here's the problem today. The people being, they don't know. They think they're the smartest, cleverest cats that ever came down the pike. You have no idea. The bread and circuses are gargantuan. They're on steroids like never seen before. And you folks don't even know. And you bring it up. And, you know, I bring it up all the time. And our own audience thinks I'm being mean. Well, can't you have any fun? At what cost?
Rory says, buy, sell, or hold. At some point in his career, Caleb Williams will become the first transgendered player in the NFL.
Buy.
Straight up, you're buying that. Straight up.
What? What is limiting it? What's the limiting factor, Steve Dace? He's already been out there, painted nails and all that stuff.
Literally crying to his mama.
Not a whiff. Have you heard a whiff of him not going number one?
Oh, no. I mean, the only physical...
Masculine-driven meritocracy!
The only physical from a team he has submitted to was Chicago. That's the only team he's even visited. So, yeah. Travis McD says, buy, sell, or hold. RFK Jr. will pick a new running mate.
No.
No.
What?
Because she was picked because she cut the check to get on the ticket.
Man,
which I honestly, as weird as this is going to sound, I'm more offended at that than I am the whole, Druid thing and the Silicon Valley deep state stuff that she was previously associated with. Because maybe she's had an awakening over what's gone on the last few years. Fair? Yeah, that could happen, okay? But the idea that she got on your ticket because she's your biggest bundler, that to me is what goes against your brand. That you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. You could sell the whole, Wicker Man, Burning Man, all that other stuff, sell that. She's been red-pilled as of late. Okay. I mean, lots of people have been red-pilled. Right now, we're not even black-pilled anymore. Where'd we leave it off? Obsidian? Slate-pilled? I forgot where we were. Okay. So everybody's getting pilled right now. So you could excuse that stuff, right? Okay. But the idea of I'm an independent voice in the system, but let me put my bundler as my running mate. Are you freaking kidding me with that?
Kennedy is still giving really cool speeches.
Yes, he is.
But what Steve just described regarding this choice, he Mike Johnsoned himself. That's what he did. I mean, so, yeah, biblical worldview. There is a... There's a worldview that Steve has willingly elevated to on this show multiple times as somebody he's possibly vote for. I've been part of his tribe on vaccination going way back before COVID, but this is Mike Johnson level stuff.
It just goes against your stated narrative.
Yes. Yes.
And it's unnecessary. You know, tell her she can literally have any other position in your administration, then you're going to be my running mate. I'm putting my chief bundler as my running mate just makes me sound like everybody else.
Yes, because it is.
And here's why. He has no political record. And so this is really his first political decision of consequence, right?
Yeah.
And it's this. And you're like, oh, boy. Okay. At least that's what I'm doing. You can have your own opinion, but that's mine. All right, we're going to stick around and do a few more of these in the overtime for Blaze TV subscribers. For the rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow, noon to 2 Eastern, right after Glenn Beck, right here on Blaze TV, Romans 8:28.